It was this very same time last, no, it wasn't last year, it was 2 years ago. A billion people around the world were watching their TVs and listening to their radios, tuned into the internet, waiting and hoping and praying for the rescue of the 33 men who were trapped in a mine in Chile. Do you remember this? These miners had been trapped in a shelter 2,000 feet below the surface, and they were there for over 2 months. Dozens of multinational corporations sent their drilling rig experts. Medical and safety experts came from countries all over the world. NASA was called in. People from every corner came to help these 33 men. They didn't know exactly where they were, and so they would drill these exploratory holes. And one day, 15 days into their ordeal, the drill bit came up and a note was attached to it. And it said, "We are well. We are well in the shelter." It would be another month before they were all rescued. And finally, on October 13th, 2010, the first man emerged from that deep, dark hole. And then the second, and the third, and every single person was rescued. That was quite an experience for the whole human family, wasn't it? In a world where violence seems to thrive, where greed and justice flourish, this event reminded us that even as evil abounds, goodwill and reverence for life more so abound. Now, these men weren't rock stars. They weren't men of influence and power. They were just ordinary guys. They were bulldozer drivers and fathers and electricians. They had names like Mario and Luis, Omar and Pablo. They were heroic and they were flawed. They were as moral and immoral as any one of us. No one ever asked, "Well, are these men worth it?" No one asked, "Do they deserve to be saved? Do they deserve these millions of dollars and all of these hours?" No one asked. They all just came to help. The world came to help. And this is how grace works. This is how grace works. Without regard to personal merit or good works, without regard to individual effort, unbidden and undeserved, grace is the whole world coming down to save us from whatever has separated us and alienated us from life. Grace. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? Is any of you named Grace? You probably know some people named Grace. The word grace brings to mind what? Dancers, swans, gazelles, snowflakes. The spiritual writer Frederick Buechner once said that a good night's sleep is grace. And so are good dreams. The smell of rain is grace. One of my Unitarian Universalist colleagues, a seminary professor, says, "Grace is sunlight when it turns the edges of a cloud into pure shimmer. Grace is a full moon perfectly reflected on a rain puddle." These are really beautiful, beautiful sentiments. But I tell you, if that's all that grace is, then there's really nothing more to talk about. If grace is simply all good and beautiful things, then I don't have a sermon for you. Just go out, enjoy the rain, and the sleep. Enjoy the butterflies and the gazelles, and I'll see you all next week. But thankfully, there is a lot more to grace than simply appreciating the gifts of the world. Grace has fierce power. Grace transforms us. Somebody in the early service said, grace breaks us. It's powerful. It can repair broken hearts, restore broken relationships, and it can set us free. But in order to know grace, first you have to know what it's like to have a broken heart. First you have to know what it's like to have a broken relationship and a spirit bound by fear, anger, or distrust. And I tell you that if you have lived upon this earth for even a couple of decades, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So grace doesn't show up on a sunny day when you're walking in the park and everything's good, you feel good about yourself, all of your relationships are in good order, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, and then you see a rainbow. No, you see two rainbows. That's not grace. That's not grace. That's beauty, it's awe, it's reverence, it's wonder, it's amazing, it's gratitude, but it is not grace. To have an experience of grace, you must first have an experience of the opposite of grace. So, what is the opposite of grace? I've thought all week about this. And there are lots of different words that I could use, but the best one, the most meaningful one for me, is separation. The opposite of grace is separation. It's when we alienate ourselves from others by our actions or inactions, by our words, our prejudices. It's when we are disconnected from our inner lives. It's when we are estranged from the ground of being, from God, from life itself. And that's when grace shows up. When we are at the bottom of a deep hole, grace is the goodness of life and ever-present love of God that stoops over. And actually, if you do some study on the Hebrew word for grace, you can find similarities with the word that means to bend down, stoop over, reach in, and pull up. That's what grace is, ready to pull us up, ready to reconcile us with the whole family of creation. Unbeckoned, undeserved, and unexplainable, grace happens. And afterwards, we are not the same. Now, Wendell Berry, the one who wrote today's reading, is an activist farmer and a poet. In that piece called The Peace of Wild Things, he describes exactly how grace works. First, there is despair. First, there is fear. First, there is worry. He can't sleep because there's so much worry. He's tossing and turning, suffering and worrying, but then something calls out to him. Call it an inner voice, call it the voice of God. Something calls to him, and he decides to listen, and it urges him to go outside and lie down by the still waters. He could have stayed in bed, tossing and turning. But he listened to that call. He goes outside, and then something happens. Something happens. Something opened his wings. Something made all of that despair and fear go away. Someone filled his cup. Grace happened, and then he was changed. No longer bound by despair, fear, or worry, he was free. At least for a time, he says, for a time. I am free. One of the most important things to remember about grace is that it is a gift offered to everyone, like this, a gift offered to everyone, no exceptions. It is wonderfully universalist. This means that the one who got away with murder, the one who hates her neighbor, the one who lies and cheats her way through life, she too can receive the miraculous grace of reunion with life. She too can have access to grace, which restores broken relationships, and she too can be free. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because I have not found a better description of the way grace works. This is the story that takes place in South Africa. An elderly black woman was brought by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission to face the white man who had confessed to the savage torture and murder of both the woman's son and her husband a few years earlier. The woman had been made to witness the husband's death, and his last words to his wife were, "Forgive them." One of the members of the commission turned to the woman and asked, "How do you believe justice should be done to this man who has inflicted so much suffering upon you and destroyed your family?" The woman replied, "I want just three things. First, I want to be taken to the place where my husband's body was burned so that I can collect up the ashes and give him a proper burial. And then, you know, my husband and son were my only family. And so the second thing I want is for this man to come to my house twice a month and spend a day with me and become my son so that I can pour out to him whatever love I have left in my heart. And finally, I want a third thing. I would like this man to know that I offer him my forgiveness, and that's what my husband wanted too. And so I would kindly ask someone to help me walk across the room so that I can take him into my arms and embrace him and let him know that he is truly forgiven." The assistants came to help the woman across the room, and as they walked slowly toward him, the man, overwhelmed by what he had just heard, fainted. Nothing in his brutal past could have prepared him for that explosion of grace. Grace reached down in the form of that elderly woman and offered forgiveness, pulling him up, bringing him back, reconciling him to the goodness of life and the goodness of God. Now, if you've heard that story before, do you remember what happened next? Do you remember that the audience broke out into song? Do you remember that they sang just spontaneously, "Amazing Grace"? Grace happens. Grace happens not because we deserve it, not because we've earned brownie points in heaven or karma points in nirvana. Grace just happens. Like Rumi said, something opens our wings. Something makes boredom and hurt disappear. Someone fills the cup. Grace reaches down to grab us where we are, but it does not leave us there. It transports us. It breaks us. It changes us. Some say grace is always flowing, like the rivers of the world or the wind blowing, and all we have to do is say yes. Sounds pretty easy, right? Just say yes. Just say yes. But when you're at the bottom of that well, when you're at the bottom of that hole, yes does not come so easily. I think about my cousin who took his life. It will be 6 years now, 6 years ago. Standing on the top of that parking deck, looking over the edge, I wonder, didn't he feel the wind of grace blowing around him? Didn't he feel the voice of the beloved calling him away from that edge? Why didn't something open his wings? Why didn't someone fill his cup? Why didn't grace happen for him? But you know what? I think grace did happen for him. I think grace happens everywhere. But my cousin, for reasons we may never understand, was just not able to take it in, was not able to turn toward it. And so he turned away. He turned away from the outstretched hand of grace. He turned away from the outstretched hands of the police officers behind him. He turned away from life. But grace still happened. Grace still happens as it happens everywhere. And grace offered itself to all of us, his friends and his family, who had to find a way to live on without him. And I believe that my cousin ultimately did find grace. I think ultimately he did say yes and was reconciled to that larger source of life from which we all came. Yes, grace happens. It happens all the time. But our faith in grace is something that falters, and we have to cultivate that faith. We have to practice saying yes. And so how do we practice saying yes? How do we practice saying yes to a grace-filled life? Well, one way is to begin to understand yourself and to know yourself. Are the habits of your daily life creating habits of the heart that are closing you off or opening you up? Are those habits hardening your heart or are they opening your heart? Where and with whom and under what conditions are you the most kind, the most compassionate, the most open-hearted? And when you have feelings where you just feel like you don't belong, where do you go? What do? What brings you back? The wise ones tell us that it's impossible to chase after grace. You can't order it online. You can't just take it off a shelf. You can't call on it when you need it. What we can do is strengthen our faith in it and strengthen our practice of saying yes to it. Annie Lamont once wrote, "I do not understand this thing called grace, only that it meets us where we are, but does not leave us where it found us." Grace changes us. When grace happens, we become generous givers. When grace happens, we become more grateful. When grace happens, we accept others, especially those who are hard to accept. We become a blessing for other people around us. And when grace happens, we are able to forgive others and forgive ourselves. May it be so. Amen.